If you have your Bibles with you today, I ask you to turn in your Bibles, if I turn my words right side up. Psalm 42 and verse 5, there was a mistake in the bulletin. It should say Psalm 31 and 24. Those two scriptures make up our scripture text. Psalm 42 and 5, then 31 and 24. Title of the sermon, There May Yet Be Hope. There may yet be hope. Psalm 42 and 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Then Psalm 31 and 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. All you who hope in the Lord. There is hope and encouragement for you here today. There was a missionary that was struggling to pay her bills, and she was struggling to stay on the mission field. And she was sitting at her second story window of her apartment reading a letter from home. And she opened the letter, a crisp, brand new $10 bill fell out of that letter. And she was very pleasantly surprised, and she read the letter though. She's reading the letter, and suddenly her eyes are distracted by the movement of a very shabbily dressed stranger down below on the street below her window. And he's leaning up against a post in front of her building. And she's trying to read this letter from home, but yet she can't get this stranger off of her mind. And she begins to think that maybe he's in greater financial distress than my own situation. So she put the $10 bill into an envelope, and she quickly pinned on the envelope, don't despair. And then she dropped that envelope out the window, and it fell at the man's feet. And he picked it up, and he read it, and he smiled as he tipped his hat toward her, and then he went on his way. Well, the next day, she was about to leave her home when a knock came on the door. And she opened the door, and she found this same shabbily dressed man smiling as he handed her a roll of money. And she asked, well, what's this money for? Where did it come from? He looked at her smiling and said, lady, that's the 60 bucks you won on the horse named Don't Despair. The horse named Don't Despair had paid 5-1. Your $10 turned into $60. Now, it wasn't her intention to bet on a horse. Her motive, her purpose, wasn't to get any money back at all. She just wanted to help a man that she thought was in need. But I can just imagine that she was greatly encouraged. I suspect that the light of hope in her heart got just a little bit brighter. And she looked ahead for better days because of that blessing. And you know, through the years, writers and poets have understood the importance of hope in our lives. The importance of hope and some of the expressions that have been penned over the years, such as when the world says, give up. Hope whispers, try it once more. Oh, that's so true, isn't it? When the world says give up, hope is saying, but just try it one more time. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be a lot easier. Well, that's true, isn't it? Put faith to work when doubting would be easier. Hope is the word which God has written on the brow of every man and every woman. And Emily Dickinson said it beautifully when she wrote, hope is that thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops. Beautifully written description of hope, isn't it? Hope, think about what hope does. Hope delivers you and me from despair. Sometimes we fall into that sense of despair where it's as if nothing we do matters. But hope, Hope enables you and I to tackle even the most menial jobs with vigor and with a passion. For example, I'll give you a true story. During World War II, the United States was flying bombing missions over Germany, and a B-17 was hit with several shells of flak and bullets coming in, actually to the gas tank of this B-17. When it had landed, they examined, they found 11 unexploded 20-millimeter shells were taken out of the fuel tank of that B-17. Well, they dismantled these unexploded shells, and to the amazement of everyone, all of those were empty of explosives. And in fact, inside one of the shells was a little piece of paper. And they opened it up and read it, and it was written in the Czechoslovakian language. And translated, it read, "This is all we can do for now." A member of the Czech underground, working in a German munitions factory, had omitted all the explosives in at least 11 of the 20 millimeter shells on the assembly line. This worker, now I can imagine this worker, he had to have wondered if the quiet work he was doing to subvert the Nazi efforts in the war, he had to be wondering at times if what he was doing was gonna matter at all. If what he was doing was going to make a difference. Now you understand, it was his hope. It was his hope that his actions would matter. That the seeming small, menial action would make a difference. But if you ask Elmer Bindener, the pilot of that World War II B-17, if it mattered, I will tell you, he'll tell you it mattered what that man did. If you ask Elmer Bindener's wife, Esther, if it made a difference, she'll tell you absolutely it saved her husband's life. It made a difference. In fact, Elmer Bindener, whose picture you see above, received the Distinguished Flying Cross and the Air Medal with 3 oak clusters and also the Purple Heart. Hope. Oh, hope is a projection of our imagination. As, by the way, so is despair. Despair is a projection of our imagination. Despair, when we're dealing with it, seems like despair easily embraces all the ills and all the problems, all the junk that we face. But hope is an energy. Hope is something deep inside of us that explores the mind to think about every possibility. That no matter what we see, there may be another way, there may be another answer that we've not even thought about that God can come through with. Hope gives us that mindset that we must explore every door, that we must imagine everything that could be fit together in the most challenging puzzle of our lives, that God's got just the right piece of the puzzle, so to speak, to make things work out. That's what hope brings to our minds and our hearts. We think, yes, God can do this. He'll do this. So my goal this morning is to do just one thing, is to remind all of us the incredible power of supernatural hope from heaven. Not just ordinary hope, but hope in God, who reminded us this morning that He is our Creator, that He is our God, and He is still in the business of saving and delivering and healing and guiding and working miracles in the lives whose hope is in Him. Is your hope in Him today? Are you trusting Him with all your heart? Let's look at a couple examples in the Word of God of men that dealt some moments in their life where they didn't have any hope at all. Look at David's confession in Psalm 39. In this psalm, David has recognized the vanity of his life. He's recognized the vanity of his life that's led to a sense of futility. Look at his words here in Psalm 39, 4 through 6. "Lord, make me to know my end. What is the measure of my days? That I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man in his best state is but vapor, Selah. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. David, in these words, he's recounting the efforts in his own life where he was focused on doing his best, but he realizes that just focusing on doing your best without God is meaningless. It brings about nothing. And he references this busyness, that all of the busyness in his life is in vain. And you think about it, most of us are so busy, aren't we? We are so busy. Is it making us any happier? Are you feeling any happier because of that busyness? Then he also speaks of heaping up riches, riches that he can't take with him. I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It just doesn't happen. We can't take it with us at all, can we? But David placed his attention and his hope in all the wrong things. And he's professing that. He's saying that I've hoped in the wrong things. And the reality is now he's in despair. But then there's another wonderful verse. And that wonderful verse is verse 7. He says, "And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you." Now, Lord, I get it. I understand that if my hope is not in you, it's all in vain. It's nothing. And then later, David, in this verse 12, you see above, that he cries out to God, showing that he recognized that despite his past self-reliance, he desperately needed God. Look at that prayer. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears." Oh, hear me, God. I know you hear me. Look down on my need right now. David is crying out to God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever cried that prayer that you had this sense of desperation and you're crying out to God to hear your prayers? Well, something changed in David's life, his circumstances. It brought about the realization in his own life that all the things that had been priorities in his life, that all those things were really meaningless. And in that very moment, when he realized that, he knew that he must have God's forgiveness, he must have God's strength, he must have God's comfort. Perhaps you're here today and you're going through a season similar to David, and you realize that there's a season in your life that you're in that seems hollow and it seems empty. And maybe you've been very busy. Maybe busy even in good things. Maybe even busyness in the church. But there's still this deep hunger. Deep down inside, you long for God's presence. You long to feel that love and that sweet, tender presence of Jesus and to receive His grace and mercy. And you're crying out and you're saying, "Oh God, is there any hope?" And you realize there is, because "Oh God, my hope is in you." Psalm 40 reminds the continuance of David's expressions that we have just looked at in Psalm 39. It's a reminder of God's faithfulness to us. Look at these words in Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." What a great expression again in this Psalm 40. In fact, there's a song that we sing that came out of these beautiful words that David penned in Psalm 40. That song is a song that many of you are familiar with. The title of it is, "He Brought Me Out." It was written by a fellow named Henry Zelle. "My heart was distressed 'neath Jehovah's dread frown. And low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me out to the golden day. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. He goes on. He wrote many other songs. A couple of other songs he's written that I'm familiar with, maybe you recognize. One is called Heavenly Sunlight, and another is Like a Mighty Sea. Those are great songs. Mr. Zelli penned over 1,200 poems and hymns. I can imagine that David, I can imagine that he would have never had grasped when he penned the words in Psalm 39 and then in Psalm 40, that those words would be the inspiration for generations to come, giving hope, even giving rise to beautiful hymns and songs that we sing today. There's another great example in the Word of God I want us to look at, and that is regarding Jeremiah. As you know, Jeremiah at times was a very grief-stricken man. Israel had once again turned from God. Israel had gone in a direction completely opposite of God's plan and God's will. God's judgment was upon them. Kind of seems like our own nation today, doesn't it? Our own nation has turned completely against the plan and the will of God, as if God doesn't matter at all. As if God now is just standing back and saying, okay, you don't need me, you think you can make it without me, go right ahead. What are we seeing? We're seeing the destruction of everything that's vital and important and precious that God has for us in our own nation. So Jeremiah's hope, his hope is gone. You don't hear any hope in the words we just read in Lamentations. Look at these with me. Lamentations 3, 16 and 18. He has also broken my teeth. Now, with gravel, by the way. Now, just think about that expression. You're so low, and you realize you've missed God, and you're full of grief and agony, and you're declaring, He has broken my teeth with gravel. It's a strange way of saying that I'm really hurting right now. My life is a mess. You've broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes, and you've moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope. Look at that. My hope have perished from the Lord. Listen to this. His sense of hopelessness in this man's heart. My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. He's full of despair, isn't he? You look at despair. Despair is the opposite of hope. And think about the synonyms for despair. Words like the blues, dejection, depression, doldrums, downhearted, dreariness, the dumps, gloominess, joylessness, melancholy, sadness, sorrow, unhappiness, self-pity, agony, wretchedness, pessimism. What a pitiful sounding bunch of words that give description to what the word despair can represent. But see, Jeremiah's despair, it turns to a prayer. Instead of talking about broken teeth with gravel and hope that had perished, listen to his words that follow just a bit, little bit later in this chapter in Lamentations 3, 21 through 26. Look at those first words there. Therefore, I have hope. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. This is the same man full of despair just a few sentences ago. But now he's saying, I've got hope because of God's mercies. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Suddenly the Holy Spirit is shaking this man in his heart. He knows the truth and he knows that God is faithful. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Oh, it's good. Jeremiah had an event in his life. Suddenly his whole mind and perspective changed. He remembered God. He remembered who God is. And the darkness of his soul suddenly became light and suddenly became hope. That's what God wants for all of us today. In Stephen Callahan's book titled Adrift, the writer writes of his experience drifting on a raft in the Atlantic Ocean. He drifted in this raft for 80 days. And he writes that his lowest and hardest days were the days in which he had no hope at all. Someone has said that we can live 40 days without food. We can live 8 days without water. We can live 4 minutes without air. But we can only live a few seconds without hope. I think they're right. We must have hope. Lamentations 3:29 is one of the sweetest phrases in the Bible. It's the title of our sermon. There may yet be hope. Oh, the writer said, whatever I've been dealing with, whatever I've been going through, whatever the shadows or darkness in my life, whatever it may be, there may yet be hope, because my hope is in God. My hope is in Jesus, my Savior. There may yet be hope. Then they have the promise in the Word of God to us, the promise of hope. We see it in the Scripture in Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint. Think about what that sentence is saying right there for a minute. When our hope is in God, we are going to never be disappointed. You realize that there are people in the world that have absolutely nothing to do with God, nothing to do with His Savior, Jesus. And they're only living for this life only. But this word says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm going to tell you today, hear it one more time. God's love is being poured out in your heart. He loves you. He wants a wonderful, close, sweet relationship with you. We have hope because of our knowledge of that, because of that promise. Our hope is in Him. Then that scripture in 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know, at first glance you go, well, wait a minute. What's miserable about having hope in Christ? Well, there's a qualifier there. It says, if in this life only. Our hope is not in just this life only. That's saying if our hope is in Christ, but it's only about this life, we're missing the whole promise of God, because it's not just this life. It's for all of eternity, forever and forever. Our hope is in Him. There's so much more. Paul is helping us get our mind right when he gives us that word. Also in Romans 8:24-25, for we were saved in this hope. Our salvation came because of our hope in Christ. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope what he sees? That makes sense, doesn't it? If I see it, I no longer hope for it. If I have it, I'll no longer hope for it. But if we hope for what we do not see, we don't see heaven yet, do we? We don't see God yet. We don't see Jesus. We don't see our loved ones who's gone to heaven yet. But we hope to see them all, don't we? We hope to see heaven. We hope to see our Creator, our Savior. We hope to see our loved ones someday in heaven with a wonderful reunion. So we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. That means we don't quit, we don't give up, we don't give in. We keep believing and hoping and praying and trusting and say, God, give me faith. I will not give up and give in. I have hope for what I'm praying for. Praise God. God wants to remind us, whatever the trouble may be, whatever the heart's cry may be, it is not hopeless. Whatever your need may be, our Father is reminding all of us today, whatever that need may be, it is not hopeless. Whatever that dark cloud may be in your life, God is faithful. It is not a hopeless situation. We have hope today. Our scripture text in Psalm 42:5, again, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Oh, praise God for that word. When you say, if we stop and we say, well, there's all been moments in our lives we've been like this. When we say that this person or this particular situation is hopeless, we say it's just hopeless. What you're really doing is you're slamming the door in the face of God. Think about that. You say, oh, that's just hopeless. You're slamming the door in the face of God. Hope, think about it. Hope is holding its hand out in the dark, believing that somebody else is there and it's God and He's going to come through for us. There is incredible power in hope. There is incredible power, not just ordinary power. There is supernatural, heavenly power when our hope is in God, who is still in the business of saving and delivering and healing and guiding and working miracles in the lives of those whose hope is in Him. Amen. Where is your hope today? Is it in Him? Edward Mote was born in poverty on January the 21st in 1797. His parents were innkeepers, and they refused to have a Bible in their house. They refused to have anything to do with faith. But somehow this young man heard the gospel as a teenager and gave his heart to Christ and served the Lord Jesus with all of his heart. He became a skilled carpenter, and he had a very successful trade, and he had his own cabinet shop. One day he felt led to write a hymn. And later that day he had written the chorus, but he didn't have any verses to go with the chorus. But that evening when he was home, he continued to pray, and the Lord led him, and he finalized the choruses and the hymns, the choruses and the verses for this particular song. And he liked it so much, he printed 1,000 copies to be distributed to his friends. He thought it would make a great song. In fact, at age 55, Edward Mote left his carpenter shop and his work as a craftsman to become the pastor of a Baptist church in Horsham, England. And he ministered in that church for 21 years. Just before he passed away, when he was 77 years old, he declared, "The truths I have been preaching, I am now living upon. And they'll do very well to die upon." Well, that's a profound statement, isn't it? The truths I've been preaching, I've been living upon, and they'll do very well to die upon. One of his songs you may recognize. I'm going to ask Mike to come back to the piano and Sherry to help me out here for a minute, because we're going to complete our time today in singing this song, and I know Mike can play this. You've heard this song. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Where is your hope placed today? Are you fully trusting in God? Are you hoping for the miracles and the answers to prayer that you're praying for? Psalm 31 and 24, "Be of good courage and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope is in the Lord." Whose hope is in the Lord? The solid rock. Sing it with us as we conclude our worship today.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His hope is gone.
When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I live in Him be found. Just in His righteous flesh alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Thank you, Father, for hope today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Please stand with me today. Thank you for being with us in worship at Heritage Church. Thank you for coming. I pray that you felt God's presence today. I pray that the Holy Spirit ministered to you and lifted your heart, reminded us to keep our hope in the only thing that matters, as our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ.